Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us again this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Got a great guest today. Melissa Hood, a first-time author, is going to be our guest, and she's going to tell us about how she tackled ADHD in her life. Many of us that have been incarcerated have had a problem with such similar issues as ADHD, and she's going to be talking about that today. You want to be sure and stay tuned. We'll be back with Melissa right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Love to get that mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. It's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Melissa Hood. She's written a book called Memoirs of an ADHD Mind. Hello, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you.
We always start with a guest telling us a little bit about themselves. Can you do that?
Oh, you bet. I'm actually an author. I'm a public speaker. I'm a student at Concordia University. I'm in my doctorate program currently, and I actually came out of the film industry until God kind of transitioned me over, and so now I'm in transition trying to figure out where I'm going. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. And what is your PhD work in?
My PhD work will be in educational development with a minor in transformational leadership. So I'm really focused on trying to help students with disabilities create structure and maneuver into destiny and learn faster at rates that are good for them.
Okay.
And so it's all based around creating structure and things like that.
Okay. Structure's a good thing. I've learned that a long time ago. Okay, now, let's talk about ADHD, because you know that this audience is primarily ex-offenders. And so let's talk a little bit about what kinds of behaviors early in your life were being manifested by ADHD, I assume, before you were diagnosed. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I talk about coping skills, and you can have healthy coping skills or unhealthy coping skills. And usually, for people that struggle with ADHD, if it's not diagnosed early on, they really, really struggle in their learning and in their progression and obtaining goals and achieving dreams and things. So I always talk about coping skills with these students, and I talk to them about the healthy side versus the unhealthy. Healthy is like using post-it notes, color highlighters, things like that that help you learn, versus unhealthy, which when people don't have structure, they turn to something to help them to cope. If they don't have a spiritual foundation, which is the number one key actually for a coping skill, for a healthy one, and because it controls all the rest, but they'll turn to alcohol, if not drugs, prescription drugs, which lead to bad behaviors, can lead to the bad peer groups. So it's really it's really imperative that these kids start learning early on how to cope, because the condition it can be really stressful.
Okay, well let's go back just a second, and when you were a little girl and you were in elementary school, what kinds of behaviors were you exhibiting that were going unchecked and, you know, you weren't using what you're talking about, your coping skills? And the reason I ask you this is people that are listening that may have ADHD, I want them to have something to relate to. So when you were a little girl in the fifth grade, were you acting out in any kind of strange way in terms of... Yeah, tell us about that.
Badly. Matter of fact, that was when the condition was at its height in my life. I was ultra impulsive, and my impulsivity is basically based on my own curiosity about my world around me, but I was ultra hyper. I wasn't mean-spirited ever. I was just really mischievous and curious about my world in respect that I wanted everybody to be a part of it, and I wanted to bring life to the fullest until it overflowed, but in my fifth grade year, I got into a lot of trouble because I had a crush on a little boy. I won't tell his name, but I had coaxed him through the window of a classroom. And I didn't know that as soon as his left foot hit the floor that he was going to cause me to fall back and hit this huge bookcase full of my teacher's crystal on top.
Oh, no.
And cause the whole thing, books and all, crystals and all, to fall all over the ground and shatter. And I became this teacher. I was on her hit list for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
But that was a pretty intense experience in my life.
Okay.
Yeah,
those types of things
we go through.
Did you make good grades?
You know, I struggled then. I actually, it was interesting in my elementary school years because in my fourth grade year, actually, I aced out of the whole school. I aced the California Achievement Test. But in my normal classroom studies, I was struggling. And the most interesting thing was that different teachers would share classes to teach. So I would be taught one subject, like history, in one teacher's class, and then I'd be shifted over into another teacher's class with the same subject. But in the first teacher's class, I would be failing, while the second one, I'd be acing the subject. And I later on in college, I learned that that was the teaching style versus my learning style.
Right.
And so with ADHD learners, we learn in all four learning styles versus just the audio style of teaching, which most teachers teach from. Mm-hmm. So we learn in hands-on, repetition, audio, and visual learning all at the same time.
And as you progressed through school, did you find that you were better, say, in math than you were in reading?
You know, it depended on the teacher, because I know that I dreaded math, because usually for ADHD minds, we really are creative thinkers while we're younger, mm-hmm. and our mind is actually trying to gravitate over into the intellectual side of itself, which is your left brain thinking. And so if I had a great math teacher, I could ace it. It just all depended upon the teacher.
What I was looking for is if, you know, one area, you know, progressed better than another area, because I've heard that can be a symptom of this. Okay. Let's talk about your coping skills. So you moved through middle school and high school, and so when did you get diagnosed?
I got diagnosed actually when I was 28, and I was almost out of college, which is really a shame, but it gotten so bad that with my lack of focus and just being depressed over the whole thing, that I finally just broke down and thought, well, I'm going to go see a psychiatrist, because that's the only people that time that diagnose people like myself. And the doctor recognized it right away.
Let's talk about the behaviors that were taking place as an adult that precipitated you getting up the courage to go see someone and eventually get diagnosed. What kinds of things were you doing? And I want the listeners to really listen to this. What kinds of things were you exhibiting as an adult that led you to go get help?
Oh, gosh. That was during the time in my life when I was losing jobs. I lost...
Oh, yeah, I read about that. You had a whole bunch of jobs in a short period of time.
Yes, I lost 40 jobs in 15 years.
40 jobs. See, the thing about that is 40 jobs, you must interview, like, really well.
I mean, I know you're the person that said that, actually.
Just tell us about what happened.
Well, during that whole time span, because I was struggling so badly to keep a job because of the way that I learned the job itself, I learned that if I stayed in the temporary job field and just, you know, if I lost a job there, I'd just go back to my agency and say, hey, you know, I just didn't work out, kind of a thing. And I would, if it got really bad, I'd switch agencies so I could always have, you know, money coming in. But I have been a strong interviewee. Because of working in HR before, and it wasn't manipulative or anything like that. I knew in my heart I could do the job if the employer would just give me the opportunity to learn the way that I learned.
Okay, so what ADHD behaviors were causing you to run into problems with all these jobs?
What happens when the ADHD condition kicks in It's triggered by stress. Stress is the number one trigger of the condition. And what happens to the mind is when stress kicks in, the brain starts, it's like it starts misfiring, which is the stop-start process, which causes distractions. And it hinders the focus of the person to stay on task. And so in your learning, when you're trying to learn a job especially, you need to stay on task and continue on, whether it's through repetition learning or doing the job task and focusing on an application for a computer program, what have you. But that was all interrupted. And so it's like my brain would pick up bits and parts, and so I wouldn't have full comprehension of what the employer wanted me to do, and hence I'd get fired.
Okay.
They think I wasn't learning the job correctly.
So after 40 jobs, you finally said, you know, maybe I need some help. So what is that process like? What did you do? How did you know who to call? Tell us about that process of getting help.
That was a hard step in my life because I don't think that anybody likes to feel like there's something wrong with them.
Absolutely.
And at that point in my life, I was so tired of people telling me that, there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with you. I just got real discouraged and really angry. I was very angry. And I just sat out in a parking lot one afternoon after I don't know how many job losses. I was up pretty high in my total of job losses. And I had a talk with God. I was like, you know, either you're the biggest liar that ever was, or you're really going to, you're in this and you're going to help me. And I really felt like doors started opening at that point through conversations with people and my pastor and saying, you know, have you ever heard of this condition, ADHD? And I was like, oh, God, another person, you know, telling me there's something wrong with me. And I guess long story short, I just kind of said, yeah, okay, let's go check it out, you know. And this doctor, he was great. I mean, and it was amazing, I guess, the relief I felt when I did find out, because it's like, okay, now at least, you know, have a diagnosis to find a pathway to help. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you had to learn coping skills. So after you were diagnosed, what was, you know, how did you learn these coping skills? How did that happen? Was it through a mental health professional? Tell us about that.
Actually, coping skills that I learned, I thought everybody did it. And I didn't know until my master's program, because I wrote my master's thesis on these coping skills and students with disabilities. And I honestly, I hate to be negative, but I did it for the grade. I thought, well, this is something I know well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write on this.
Okay.
And all my professors started calling me in because it was like an epiphany to them. And they're like, how'd you learn this? How did you develop this? Who taught you this? And I was like, I thought everybody did it. And it was basically just little tools that I had created for my brain, like using colored Post-its, because my brain has a hard time seeing black ink on a white sheet of paper, black and white. It overwhelms my brain, or it did when I was younger, because my brain couldn't differentiate the high points from the low points of information on the sheet. So I implemented colored highlighters to highlight those high points from the low points, or colored stickies.
You did this in college, though. This is not something that you did as a child, right?
Oh, I didn't have any knowledge of that then.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure I had some type of coping skill, but I think I was too busy being a kid then. I mean, mm-hmm. just running around being hyper. But
so give us some more examples. You talk about the highlighting, the colors, the Post-its. What are some other, how did you learn on your own to check stress?
Check stress. You know, I would start recognizing how my thinking would function when I was under stress. And I kept at first thinking, well, when does this come on? What does it feel like when it comes on? And it felt like a cloudiness hitting my mind where I couldn't focus. And so every time that would hit, I'd pull out my colored highlighters and I'd stop and slow down. I'd make myself stop and slow down, take a break if I needed to for 5 or 10 minutes to give my brain a brain break. Mm-hmm. We need those frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And just started recognizing the patterns. and what helped me to excel. And I noticed because of brain breaks or because of I started implementing really watching what I ate because I hated taking the medicine. Medicine's not for everybody either. But,
okay, let's talk about that because we're getting close on time here. And you have really based your ability to implement these coping skills that you've developed to keep your behaviors in check in your faith. You've based that in your faith and the power of prayer. And you do not take meds for your ADHD. So there's two things I want you to talk about. I want you to tell us, is not taking the meds for everyone? And tell us about how effective your faith-based approach to this has been, and I'm going to assume that it's been good. So tell us about the role of your faith, and tell us a little bit about the role that meds could play.
Okay. My faith is everything. I believe that I wouldn't be where I am today without a relationship with Christ. But the thing is that people need to understand the power of prayer. And it's based on praying the word. God says we have the mind of Christ like that which is in Christ Jesus. And so when I think about that scripture, I'm thinking about how does he think? You know, what does he do? What would he have me do? And obviously God is not bringing me here to leave me here. He brought me here to bring me through. And I don't mean to sound like a cliche. That's the truth when he brings us to any obstacle in life. And so God started teaching me about how to pray the word. And it was based on this one scripture. And he says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So if the word is if the word itself is God, the word is power. So you're releasing God into your circumstances every time you say a scripture, whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, a job issue, a ADHD issue, you label it. So I started putting God to the test and saying, you know, God, if you said I could pray your word and it would go out and do something and not ever return back void because the word of God is alive and active. And you also said, God, you watch over your word to perform it. You also said, God, that your angels only hearken unto your word. So based on those four foundational principles, I started putting the word to the test. And slowly but surely, my mind started changing, and my abilities to think started changing, and the stress wasn't affecting me while I was in these jobs started to change. And I started advancing and excelling faster than that of the normal student that didn't struggle.
And you started with meds, right? I'm assuming.
I did start with meds. I hated it.
Okay. Most people do. But, it, you know, I just want to throw in here real quick that it's necessary for some people. I'm not a doctor, and and Melissa's not a doctor. So if the doc's telling you to take your meds, take your meds. But
amen.
What Melissa is saying, I totally agree with as well, is there's a lot of power in the faith part helping us with such things. Okay, Melissa, we're real close on time. People that are listening to this podcast, as I mentioned earlier, are ex-offenders. There may be some ex-offenders out there who know that they probably have something like this or similar to this. There's a stigma behind seeking help. What would be your advice to an ex-offender that thinks that they've got an issue with ADHD? How would you address them right now?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that you're a brilliant out-of-the-box thinker. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're stupid. You just learn differently. And I bet you 1,000 to 1 that you have a very, very high IQ level, which means you're curious and you can grasp information very quickly. And so I would just really, 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 really promote them to really get information about ADHD and learn about its pitfalls, learn about its strengths, and about how to use it as a gift, because it really is a gift. It's not a stigma. It's not a bad label.
Right.
And not let anybody dictate your future. God's the author and finisher of your faith.
Excellent. Thank you, Melissa. Okay, Melissa, before I let you go, I got to tell you, congratulations on
thank you
on the way that you have handled this and the way that you've applied the faith in your life to get this thing in check and to move forward and advance. Just all the kudos in the world to you. Just wow, what a great story this is. And Melissa Hood, the book is called Memoirs of an ADHD Mind. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of
thank
Hope
you
today. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. You know, I really like getting mail from you. If you have got an idea for the show, or you have a guest that you would like to suggest, let me know about it, and I'll see what I can do about it. And I appreciate your suggestions. I also like hearing how you're doing and maybe issues that you've run into that we haven't addressed here on the Journey of Hope and your reintegration. Drop me a line. Let me know how things are doing or going for you. It's MathersRodney@yahoo.com, MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Hello there. I want to thank my guest today, Melissa Hood, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.